Good morning. Today's daf in Ksuvos Kuf Hey. We are on Kuf Dal Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud. We just have one short sugya that we need to do in terms of concluding yesterday's daf in the 12th parak. And then this morning, Emir Tzashem, we're going to be beginning the 13th parak of the Masechta. Let's get right into it. The last sugya in the 12th parak of the Masechta has to do with statute of limitations. There is going to be a deadline in which she needs to claim her ksuva. A woman, after having been widowed, alternatively divorced, although it's pretty clear from yesterday's daf that by divorce there is a pretty standard statute of limitation, but if a woman's a widow, so she can demand her ksuva. Obviously she's entitled, she has the that's the whole nature of ksuva, it's a debt that's owed to her. She can demand the ksuva up to 25 years after she's widowed, but if she asked for the ksuva any point after that, so she has forfeited her ksuva. That's what we learned yesterday. It starts with the Mishnah. Mishnah brings down two opinions, Reb Meir and the Chachamim. They both agree that the deadline is 25 years, but they disagree in terms of why. Reb Meir gives a svara. Reb Meir says that because over the course of the 25 years, what she's been doing is she's been taking a little bit more mizonos than she's entitled to. And so what we do is we apply that towards ksuva. And after 25 years, she's exhausted ksuva. That's basically the sheet of Reb Meir. The Chachamim say no. We don't assume that she takes more mizonos than necessary, but rather, according to the Chachamim, the issue is that after 25 years, she's mochel. She's just simply waived. She's waiving the ksuva after 25 years. Okay, there's many more details to discuss, but go back to yesterday's daf and see yesterday's daf for more discussion on this topic. In the meantime, however, we have a story. Chamtei de Rabbi Chiya. So where you can find us is right at the midpoint of the, no, not right in the midpoint, about a third of the way down on Kuf Dal Amud Beis, and so the story goes like this: Chamtei de Rabbi Chiya Aricha Inte Tachua Havai. So the mother-in-law of Rabbi Chiya, now he's called Rabbi Chiya Aricha. He's tall, so he's called Tall Rabbi Chiya. So his mother-in-law is his brother's wife. Okay, now that's a mouthful, and that's extraordinarily confusing how that can happen. But regardless, in other words, it's a Yavamo scenario, but it's not Yibum. Okay, anyway. Let's just keep it as simple as possible. Anyway, so his brother was married. Happens to have been to his mother-in-law. So the Amana Beveis Avi Ahavai. Now, Rachmanis, his brother died. Rabbi Chiya's brother died, and he stands to inherit the entire Yerusha of his brother. And on top of that, also, he's got a widow, who he's got to support. And so he did so. He supported for 25 years. And the Asr V'chamishnim Bevei Nasha. And she moved back to her parents' house. And remember, the clock starts ticking once she moves to her parents' home. And so for 25 years, he supported his late brother's wife, his late brother's widow. And Lesof Armalei Havle Mizone. After 25 years now has come and gone. So now she continues to demand her mizonos. So Amarla, so he says to her, Lesach Mizona. No, we're done. 25 years is over, and I no longer am going to be giving him mizonos. So Havle Ksuva. So she says, okay, fine. You don't want to support me anymore? Okay. So give me the ksuva. So Amrla mizona islach v'lo ksuva islach. I'm sorry. Amrla lo mizona islach v'lo ksuva islach. So he says back to her, no on both. I'm not giving you mizonos. I'm not giving you ksuva. In other words, what he assumes is that since 25 years has come and gone, so like we learned in yesterday's daf, so that now becomes a mechila of her ksuva, and therefore he's not going to be paying her ksuva as well. So tavayla dina kama derava bar shila. Okay, so they go to court. And the court happens to be presided by Rabba Bar Shila. Amar lei, emalach izi gufa duvda hechava. So obviously, Rabba Bar Shila wants details. So Amar lei, zinsa esrim mechamishnen bevei nasha bechay damar debekatfe amatila. And so he says, here, okay, I'll give you the details. In other words, she was a widow. She was widowed 25 years ago, and I support her for these 25 years. Not only that, I delivered the support myself. So, time amayam rabbanan. So, amarlei. Okay, so, Rabbi Bashila now is going to give a ruling, and not what we expected. So, time amayam rabbanan kozman shi beves bala govik suvasala olam. So, de amrina mishum kisufu de lo tave. So, we go back to what we learned yesterday. Why does the clock start ticking only after she leaves the Yisrael Mim's estate? Right? So this point we made yesterday, and that is because we are under the assumption that while she's still living with the estate, with the Yisrael Mim, so we assume that, look, she's not going to be asking for ksuva now, it's just simply disrespectful, and she'll be embarrassed, and we understand that. And even if it's 25 years come and gone, she's not waving her ksuva, she's just simply not asking for it because, quite frankly, it's embarrassing. So hachinami mishum kisufa udalotava. But now that you told me, right, this is now the Dayan, Rabbah. So now that you told me that you yourself deliver the food to her every single day, so you're coming now or supporting her personally. So now what do you expect her to do? You're going to come with the food in the morning and she or whatever the schedule is. Remember, we discussed this not so long ago. Generally speaking, mizonos is provided on a monthly basis. Whatever the schedule is, you're going to be providing the food for her. And she's now going to say, oh, thank you very much. And I want my ksuva. Obviously, she's not going to ask for that. She's too embarrassed to ask directly from you. So now, using yesterday's svara, so Rabbi Bar Shila says, I'm going to tell you she didn't waive her ksuva. So zil havlay. So now you owe her the ksuva. Okay. So lo ashkach. So obviously, needless to say, Rabbi Chia was not happy with this psak. He didn't think it was the right psak. And he didn't listen to the judge. So kasavle adrach nichse. What he then did is he wrote an adrachta. Okay, so an adrachta is basically a letter of seizure. In other words, he felt that he was right, the judge, and he felt that she was entitled to the ksuva. And remember, the ksuva now is she's got a lien with that ksuva, and his properties are mortgaged against that ksuva. So he wrote her a letter of seizure so that she can just simply now come claim the properties that are owed to her. So asal kama de Rava. Okay, so now, Rabbi Chia goes to Rava. So it must be. In other words, yesterday we just spoke at length about Rabbi Chia in terms of him becoming the Rosh Yeshiva and him being passed over as Rosh Yeshiva, and the Gemara spent a lot of time yesterday's daf wondering why Rabbi Chia did not become the Rosh Yeshiva. This is not the same Rabbi Chia, meaning the one we're describing right now is not the same Rabbi Chia. I say that for one really simple reason, and that is because he's going to Rava. Rava is years later. In other words, of the Tkufa of the Amoraim. So Rava is somewhere in the middle of that Tkufa. So this is a later Rabbi Chia. This is not the same Rabbi Chia that we described yesterday. Okay, anyway. So also coming to Rava, so he goes to Rava Amalei, Chazi Mar Hechid Danan. So he turns to Rava and he basically says, look, I'm coming to you on appeal. Meaning I cannot believe they judge this way. So Amalei Shapir Dancha. So Rava says, I disagree with you. I think they were correct. I think Rabbi Bar Shila judged correctly. So now she uses the opportunity to pile on. Meaning, not only was she awarded the ksuva, not only was she written already in a drachta, a letter of seizure, but she said, you know, since the letter of seizure was written up, so he's been helping himself to peros. Meaning, he felt that the property belonged to him, and so therefore he took the dividends. And so now, not only do I want my ksuva payment, and not only am I going to foreclose on the property, but on top of that, I also want all the pears that he ate in the interim. So Amar La Achvele Adrachtech. Okay, good. You want the pears as well? Do me a favor. Can I just take a look at the Adrachta? Can I see how it's written up? So Chazid Lav Vekasav Bevi Ishtamudne Denechasim Elu Demisne Inon. So then, as he's looking through the letter of seizure, so he opens it up and he's reading and it's not written correctly. In other words, what the Adrachta should have said is that you were entitled to seize the properties of your late husband. It didn't say that. Right? V'ishtamudne d'nechasem elu d'misna inun. Right? You are allowed to go ahead and collect from your late husband's property. Meaning, remember, she's a widow. Which properties are mortgaged against her ksuva? Her late husband's property, which is now currently inherited by her brother. But in other words, the brother's properties themselves are not subject to that lien, and therefore the Adrachta said, generally speaking, you could take whatever property you want. And so it's an incorrectly written Adrachta. So upon further review, Rava said, look, in principle I agreed with the Psak, but now that I'm looking at the letter of seizure, not written correctly. So Adrachta Lav Shapir Ksiva. It's not written up correctly, and therefore, you can't take anything based on this paperwork. Okay, the paperwork's bad. Clerical error. So Amrle Tezel Adrachta Ishkol Miyuma Dishlima Yuma Achrazasa Adhashta. So she said, okay, but we went through an achraza. In other words, we did an appraisal of the property. And remember, appraisal of properties are a 30-day process. And so she said, okay, let's ignore the adrachta. But we did appraise the property. And after the appraisal of the property, all the payros for sure belong to me. And so can we just ignore the Adrachta and at least now just let me collect the pairs from the end of the appraisal. So Amr Lahani Milecha Doloksiv Tausa Badrachta, Ava Hacha Dixiv Tausa Badrachta, Le Sachban. He says, no, no good. In other words, the appraisal was only done based on the Adrachta. And the Adrachta was incorrectly written. And so the appraisal does not have any legal significance. So he says to her, look, in other words, it's a technical point, it's a clerical error, but you can't do it. You can't collect. You can't collect those peros. So Amr Leva Hamar Hudamar Achrayos Tau Soferhu. So she says, okay, but the Achrayos Tau Soferhu, which is an expression the Gemara uses very often to say that sometimes, look, a sofer is going to leave things out. Certain things that are left out, was that omission intentional or unintentional? Generally speaking, Rav is of the position that Achrayos Tau Soferhu. that you can call it just that. It's a clerical error.
Typo.
It's a typo, but it's not even a typo. It's just an omission. But there are certain things which are so basic and so obvious that even though they were left out from general contracts, they're assumed to be there. So that's Rava's general shita. And so she says to him, obviously she knows a thing or two about halacha. So she says to him, okay, so the adrachta wasn't written correctly. But we're okay with certain basic omissions. So Amar la Rava b'halek alamem atar sofer hu debaha filu Rava barshila tai mikara. So Rava's response is, look, you're right. If it's a obvious omission meaning it's an omission that everybody knew and everyone understood and whatever, and the sofer left it out. Yes, I'm totally comfortable inserting statements into a document that are obvious and known. However, over here, I don't think Rabbi Barshila understood the nuances over here. When he wrote you the Adrachta, he actually made a mistake. It was his error. So who's Ever Hani Vahani Dide Mali Mahani Mali Mahani? So because what he thought is the following. Look, you're Odek Suva, right? Your brother-in-law inherited the entire estate. And so what Rabbi Barshila, when he wrote the Adrachta, thought, okay, what difference does it make which property we're talking about over here? Whether he's talking about your late husband's property, whether he's talking about your brother's property, meaning he didn't think there was a difference. And meanwhile, Velohi, that's just simply not the case. Zimnan da asal umishab chaluhu u debala mechasfe, the amr lashkil di dach, the havli didi, the asilafuke la az abedina. And meanwhile, over here, this mistake could lead to an egregious error and it could show a lot of shame towards Beis Din. Because what's going to happen is that by accident, mistakenly, you're going to be taking not your late husband's property, you're going to be taking your brother-in-law's property, and you're going to put work into it, effort into it. And meanwhile, what's then going to happen is that he's going to wake up, he's going to say, wait one second, no, you do have a lien, but not on my property, you have a lien on your late husband's property. Let's swap it out. Now what he does is he gets back his property. His property turns out now was neglected. And now he's going to go around. Next time he's at the Shabbos Kiddush, and he's going to say, you're not going to believe what happened to me, and you're not going to believe what Beis Din did to me. So in other words, the Adrachta was incorrectly written, and this is not an omission. This is something that was a mistake by the Dayan. Okay. And I know, by the way, because just recently we discussed what happens when Dayanim make mistakes, and what mistakes do they have to actually count for themselves, and what mistakes do they have their own liability for. And that is an important discussion. We're just not going to have it right now. But the story does not end well for her, but because the Adrachta was not written correctly. Hajran al-Chanose, okay, what a wonderful way to end the 12th parak of the Masechta, really uplifting. But anyway, we are going to continue. Okay. We are now beginning the 13th parak of the Masechta. We are on Kuftal Amid Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amma, two lines from the bottom. It's pretty easy to find where we are. And so the 13th parak is going to go a little bit off course. It's going to start off with an issue that has to do with marriage, but as you'll see, the 13th parak over here is gonna have one theme, and only the first sugya really is gonna be a ksuvas related issue. Shnei dayan gzeros hayu b'Yerushalayim. So there were two judges who judged gzeros, decrees, and they are Adman v'Chanan ben Avishalom. So they are the Tanaim of Chanan. Let's start letting me go in order. Admon and Chanan ben Avishalom. Chanan omer shnei devarim, v'admon omer shiva. So Chanan said two. Admon said seven. And what we're going to do over here is go through the two rulings of Hanan, the seven rulings of Admon, and then we'll call it a Masechta. And that will be the end of the of Ksivos. It just happens to be that it's going to take us about a week and a half to get through the various psakim of these. I say a week and a half, it's less. It's about a week. Okay. So and over here, if you want to see an interesting Tosus over here, Hanan ben Avishalom. Right, Tosus insists that the name has to be Avishalom. It can't be Avshalom, because no one would name their children Avshalom. Anyway, see Tosus over here for a really interesting discussion about naming after Rishayim. Anyway, number one, first psak of Hanan. There are two in our Masechta. Misha Allah Limitina Sayam Vishto Tovas. So let's say a husband went away on a trip. Now the trip was scheduled, but how long he would go for, I don't know. And she doesn't know either. And she would like to be supported. So she's asking for mezonos. Vishto Tavas Mezonos. Hanan Omer. So Hanan's of the position the following, one on the top of Kofei Amud Aleph. Tishava Besof Lo Tishava Betchila. So what she'll do is she'll make a shvua at the end. End? What end? Rashi writes over here. Kishi Yishmu Bo Shemes Vitavala Gavos Ksuvasa Tishava Shalo Akva Biada Mishal Baal Aklum. So the way Rashi understands it is that in the eventuality that, let's say he dies, and now she's collecting ksuva, so now when she collects ksuva, she's going to make a shvua. And the shvua is going to include, number one, I didn't get paid any of my ksuva already. And number two, all this time that I've been collecting mezonos, so I've been collecting appropriate amount of mezonos. Good. But she doesn't have to make a shvua on every distribution. She'll only make a shvua at the end in the event that she collects ksuva. That's the opinion of Hanan. Tishav basof lo tishav betchila. So nechluku Allah b'nei kohanim gedolim amru tishav betchila basof. And the kohanim gedolim said no. She's going to make a shvua both in the beginning and at the end as well. That means to say that every time she collects mizona, she'll have to make a shvua. And then when she collects suva, she's also going to have to make a shvua. So Am Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanas kedivrehem. Rav Dosa ben Horkanas was in agreement with the b'nei kohanim. And Am Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, Yafa Amar Hanan, lo tishav el besof. And Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai supported the position of Hanan. Okay. Machlokes hatanaim, whether or not a woman has to make a shvua when she's collecting mizonos in absentia of her husband. Her husband's away, and she doesn't know where he is yet. She doesn't know when she's coming back. She's entitled to mizonos. She is going to receive mizonos. The only issue on the table is, does she have to make a shvua when she collects the mizonos? Or alternatively, she won't make a shvua, but then later, if and when she collects ksuva, is she going to then retroactively make a shvua on all those mizonos? So Hanan's of the position only at the end and not with every distribution. So. No. That topic is done. This is just a question now of her receiving a distribution, and her husband's not here, and so she just, whether or not she is trusted and given credibility that she is appropriately collecting her mizonos. Okay. Uriminu. Gemara starts off with technical questions. Shlosha Dayan Exelos. Hayu Birushalayim. We have a Braisa. The Braisa gives the number three. Three judges that were in Yerushalayim. And they are Admon Ben Gadai, Hanan Mitzri, and Hanan Ben Avishalom. So over here now in this listing, there are three Tanaim that are mentioned. So Kashi Tlasa Train and Kashi Xeros Exelos. So number one, the numbers are off. Armisha gives us a number of two judges. And here in the Braisa, we have three judges. Additional to that is that that in our Mishnah, it says that they were judges over Gezeros. Over here in this Mishnah, they are judges over Gezelos. So it's not the same. So why can't we just simply say, Tosus asks, first Tosus on the Amud, why can't we just simply say that the one question answers the other question? Meaning that the grouping of three over here is towards Gezelos. The grouping of two is towards Gezeros. And so, can't you say that? So Tosa says, no, you can't say that, because the overlap. In other words, it's unlikely that two Tanaim and I are going to be in charge of two different institutions and two different subspecialties. That's unlikely. So, Bishlam Aklasa, Train Lokasha, Dechashiv Lekatani, Lochashiv Lelokatani. So the Gemara says, look, first of all, 2 verses 3, it could very well be that we're only mentioning those that are chashuv, and we're not mentioning the ones that are not chashuv. Now, in a short list of three, by the way, so we could see clearly who's not the one that's chashuv. Okay. So So that first, and again, another Tosfos over here to discuss exactly what exactly is considered chashuv, what's considered not chashuv. But as far as the first question is concerned, so that can easily be sidestepped and easily be resolved. Alexeris exelos kasha. Okay. So we're assuming now that's the same list and it's the same overlap. But what we are troubled with is, are they presiding over gzeros or gzelos? So Amar of Nachma Yitzchak, how you gozer and gzeros, a gzelos. So the Gemara gives a simple answer, and that is that what they're gozer on is gzeros, but specific to gzelos. Kedetanya, we have a brisa. So kitma netiyah. All right, totally side issue. Somebody does damages and they go ahead and they uproot saplings. So according to Rashi, we're talking about it's Yeshua that does the uprooting. Niske Mamon. Okay, anyway. So Kitma Natiya, so Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gozer Gezer Shibushlaim Omerim. So the Gozer Gezer Shibushlaim. So they would say Natiya Bas Shnasaf, it's a year-old sapling, Shtei Kesef. And Bashteshanim, if it's a two-year-old sapling, Arba Kesef. Okay, and this far exceeds the actual value of the tree. And so when you are holding somebody liable with that greater than the actual damage itself, so you know what we call that? We call that a knas. Okay, good. So anyway, but what you see over here in the Brisa is that the gzera is on gzela. It happens to be over here. It's not gzela, it's nezik, but same basic idea. Uriminu, the Gemara says, okay, shlosha dayanim gzera sayyib b'sholayim, admon v'chanan v'nachom. So the Gemara says, okay, but one more technical question, and that is that I have another listing, and over here it's three that are mentioned, and Nachum comes out of left field. So Amar Papa Mantana Rabbi Nasani, Detanya Rabbi Nasan Omer, Af Nachum Amad, Migozer Gzer Shibushalim, Ayavalaho Dulu Chachamim. Funny Machlokis, Rabbi Nasan says that Nachum was part of this group, and the Chachamim say, no, he wasn't. Okay. I'd love to be able to provide some sort of explanation in terms of what they're arguing about. He was part of the group. He wasn't part of the group. Okay. Anyway, but that's more technical points. V'su leka v'amar apinchas amar Rabbi Yoshi shosh meos v'tishim v'arba bati dinim hayu b'Yerushalayim. So that totals 394 courts in Yerushalayim, and connect them bati kinesios, to connect them bati medrashos, to connect them bati sofrim, and that same number are of shuls, and the same number of bati medrash, and the same number of schools. So over here we are in our Mishnah holding by two. And we have a Bryce that tells us that 394. Now, that's a major discrepancy. Two versus three. So we were able to, you know, resolve that. But over here now, it's two versus 394. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, goes to Gzer Shibushalayim, Hayinotlim, Scharam Tisha V'Tisha Maneh, Mitchumas Alishka. So Lo Ratzim Osifan Lahem. I skipped the answer. Let's go back. Dayanim Tuva. So the Gemara says, yeah, there were plenty of judges. V'chi kamrinan, gozer gzeros kamrinan. The answer, which you probably saw coming, and that is that the number two was going specifically on this subspecialty. This subspecialty of gozer gzeros, that's number two. The total number of dayanim? Okay, that's 394. Okay, that's easy. I'm Rav Yudam, a Rav Asi, gozer gzeros, shibushalayim, ha'inolim, scharim, tisha v'tisha, mana, mi trumas alishka. So where do they get paid? They get paid from the trumas alishka. So not so long ago, which I take it back, it was a pretty long time ago, the beginning of this cycle of Shas, so we went through Masechta Shkalim, at which we went through in detail the exact accounting of public money. So that's Trumas Alishka. Some of that public money went towards the paying of Dayanim. Okay, good. So Lo Ratzu Mosifan Lahem. Now let's say they're on strike. In other words, not enough money. So good, so give them more money. So the Gemara immediately jumps on that. Lo Ratzu? So Atu Bershi Askinan? What do you mean? They don't want, and therefore they're going to get more. In other words, we're talking about tzaddikim. We're talking about judges. So, ela lo safku, alfa pishalo ratzim osifan aleihem. So the Gemara immediately edits. The Gemara says, no. It's not that they're on strike. But rather, in other words, it's just simply insufficient. In other words, we look at what cost of living is, and we see that they're not being paid towards cost of living. So then what we're going to do is that we're going to add more to it. That's all. That's all that's meant in the Braisa. So, Karna Vashakal Isterisa Mizakaiv Isterisa Michayev Vidain Lahudina. Okay. Now, Karna has a different method of payment, and that is the following. That when he had a court case, and let's assume it's a civil case, and so that means there are going to be two Bali Dinim. And so what the Bali Dinim are going to do is each one of them is going to pay him. Each one of them is going to pay him an Istero, and the one who is found guilty, the one who's found innocent. Right, guilt and innocence, by the way, in civil cases, not exactly the best way to describe it, but you understand. In other words, both parties are going to pay him, and that's how he got paid. And this is going to take us for the rest of today's daf, and this is excitement for today. We're going to be talking about Shochad. right? Today's daf, Kufay, Ksuvus. So this is going to be the springboard in which we're going to be talking about a judge and bribery. Okay, so anything and everything you want to know about bribery is found right here in today's daf. So, Heichi Avid Hachi. So the Gemara says, wait one second. You're getting paid to judge. So, meanwhile, over here, you don't have to know a whole lot. Just have to know a pasuk in the Torah. And also, by the way, a little bit of common sense as well. Meaning that if you're judging, you're going to get paid, so you're not going to be impartial. You have now compromised your partiality, understandably. So, and it's an issur in the Torah. V'shocha lo sikach. So, how in the world could Karna engage in this kind of behavior? So the Gemara says, well, v'chitema hani milehechad lo shakim intarvayu dilma ase la'atzli dina. But Karna came into shakim intarvayu lo ase la'atzli dina. So the Gemara says, well, if I get paid from one party, so then I understand how you're no longer impartial. But he got paid from both parties. And that's able to balance his position. So the Gemara says, I don't love that answer. Now, if what the Torah by Lo Sikach Shokach is telling me that you're not allowed to pervert judgment, we already have a pasuk that tells us that you're not allowed to pervert judgment. If you know somebody's innocent, so you have to declare that he's innocent. And anything other than that is a perversion of justice, and that's a violation of Lo Sateh Mishpat. So the Gemara says, no, afilu, el afilu zakus zakal l'chayev v'zachayev amator v'shocha lo sikach. So, no, even if you are judging correctly, but you're taking money, that's a violation of shocha lo sikach. So the Gemara says, hani mili, the Gemara says, yeah, I get that, but hani mili hech v'shakel v'tor shochat, karna v'tor zagro ha'v'shakel. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're taking money as bribery, so then that's a violation of the Torah, but he's not taking it as bribery, he's taking it as payment, as income, right? That's his wages. So the Gemara says, "Vatara Sagra Mishari." The Gemara says, "Well, how do I know that that's okay?" The Vatanan, no, tells Scharladon Dina Betalim that if you get paid to judge, so your judgment is going to be rendered invalid. Sahani Mili Agardina Karna Agar Betela Havashako. So the Gemara says, "Okay." What we're going to do is we're going to make the following distinction, and that is getting paid to do the judgment versus getting paid from taking you out from other work that you have to do. In other words, obviously, if you're going to be serving as a judge, that's going to take time, and your time is valuable. And so now you could have been working, you could have been doing another job, and instead now you're going to be judging. So what are you supposed to do? So this is what's called schar betela. I'm sure you've heard this expression before. It's today's daf. Today's daf, Ksuvas daf kofei, introduces us to the idea of schar betela. If you could have been doing something else, and instead you're doing a mitzvah, judging is a mitzvah, so what you're entitled to collect now is schar betela. V'agar betela mishari, the Gemara presses on this point. Is it really okay? V'atayin, we'll enter the brisa. Mechuar hadayin shenoton schar ladon. Ela shedino din. So, it's revolting. It's disgusting. The judgment's going to be a good judgment, but he's going to take money? It's pasnished. So, hey, chidami, ile magar dina. So, dino din vatanya. Hanoto schar ladon dino betela. So the Gemara says, look, if he's getting paid to judge, so just go back to what we learned 1 minute ago, which is it renders a judgment invalid. So, ela agar betela kitani. So the Gemara says, okay, so what it must be referring to is schar betala, the wages that you're getting paid because you're taking out of your job. So, and meanwhile, mechur dayanim. So, and meanwhile, the Braisa still has very strong language. The judgment rendered is a valid judgment. But I'll tell you what's not good. What's not going to be good is the look. It's a bad look. So the Gemara says, Hani mila bimili delo mochicha. Karna, I'm sorry, betela delo mochicha. Karna betela de mocha v'shakel. Dave toi be'ambara, de chamra v'yavile zuza. So the Gemara says, look. If you're calling it schar batala, but meanwhile, he had nothing else to do, so that's mechur. That's a bad look. But if you really have another job, and it's really taking you away from another job, it's no longer a bad look. In fact, Karna, do you know what he had? He had a skill. It's a funny skill. He smelled wine. He had he basically worked on his sense of smell. He smelled wine, and he was able to tell you whether the wine is good or not. And because it's a skill, he charged. Okay? Let's just say he made a good living. I don't know. But but he got paid for that. And so what the Gemara says is that the only time it's a bad look if you're calling it Schar Batala, but you don't have something else to do. But if you have something else to do and you're getting paid for now taking you away from your job in order to judge, that's fine. Okay, so Kihadar Ravuna, I'm ready to wrap it up, but let's just do a little bit more. Kihadar Ravuna, Kihava Asi Dina Lakame, when a din would come in front of him, Armalahu. So Havali Gavra Didale Becharike Veidun Lachudina. So Ravuna would say, look, I have to be out gardening, right? More than gardening, by the way. In other words, it's a field. And I got to be out in the field. And if you can get somebody to replace me, or right, if you can basically pay me what I needed to do, so then good. So then I'll judge. Otherwise, I'm not going to judge. Okay, so where are we right now? So if you're getting paid in order to pervert the judgment, so that's the violation of Shochah Lo Sikach, and it's on top of that, it's a violation of Lo Sateh Mishpat. If you're getting paid by both parties, but you're getting paid by both parties as Shochad, that's a violation of Shochah Lo Sikach. If you're getting paid for doing the judgment, so the Gemara says that it's no good. Not only that, it renders the judgment invalid. If you're getting paid for schar batala, so then it depends. It's certainly the judgment will be fine, but if you have no other job that you're doing, and this is really the only thing that you're doing, so then it's a bad look. If you really have another job that you're doing and it's taking you away from your other job, so then under those circumstances, it's perfectly fine. Okay, that's the layout, the map of Shochad in a nutshell. But the Gemara here is going to continue. We're going to take this to the rest of today's daf because the Gemara's got a lot more to say on Shochad. Amar Rabbi Abba Barei Kama Sumios Einem Shomekabli Shochad. When you take Shochad, it blinds you. Adam Chashbein Avnos Imam Lerofe Suffik Misrape Suffik in a Misrape. And let's say you have an eye ailment. Okay, a little close, too close to home for me. But let's say you have an eye ailment and you go to the doctor and sometimes they'll help, sometimes you won't. You don't know. So, and obviously you're going to pay him. V'hein, notlin, shava pruta, umisame menehem. But contrast that to a judge. Well, you give him pruta, right? Not a lot of money. And meanwhile, it for sure is going to blind them. Not literally, but in other words, in terms of their judgment. Shenem ki ashocha yaver pichim. Okay, the pasuk says that's what it does. It blinds people. So Tana Rabbanan ki ashochan yaver inei chachamim. So kavacham letivshin. You're a chacham and you get some money, and that's going to immediately pervert your judgment. And can you imagine if the judge is not a chacham? Imagine if he's a tipesh. Imagine what's going to do to his judgment then. His judgment wasn't that good to begin with. And v'salif divrei tzadikim kavacham lerishayim. And what it's going to do is it's going to pervert tzadikim. Now imagine if the judge is not a tzadik, if he's a rasha. In other words, money really does pervert judgment, and it doesn't matter whether you're a chacham or a tzaddik, it's going to pervert judgment. So, midi tifshim rishon b'nei dinininu. So the Gemara says, I'm a little bit confused. I'm going to have a rasha or a tipesh that's going to be serving and it's going to be on the bench. So elahachi kamar, the Gemara says, you're right. So, ki ashocha yaveri ne chachamim afilu chacham gadol, v'lokech shochad, einu nifter min olam below, samios alev. So if he is a chacham and he takes money, he's going to become samios alev. Literally mean blockage of the heart. I don't think the Gemara over here is really discussing cardiovascular. The Gemara just simply means that, right, such an individual will become no longer such a chacham. And v'salif divrei tzadikim, as we turn to the Amud Beis, afilu tzadik gamor, lokeach shochad, einu nifter min ha'olam below tir fadas. So you're a tzadik gamor, but you take even the smallest amount of bribery, and you're going to leave the world, and your mind is going to be totally mixed up. He also Rav Dimi Amar Darish Rav Nachman Bar Kohen. My Dichsev Malch Bamishpa Yamid Eretz Veish Shumos Yar Senam. The pasuk in Mishlei, the Gemara says Pshat in the pasuk, right? Ish to Shumos Yar Senam. If you're a person who gets gifts, so you're destroying the world. And Im Doma Dain LaMelech She'enu Tzarich L'Klom. So Yamid Aretz. So if you are an independent and you don't need money and you're not accepting bribes, so you're supporting the world, meaning you're giving good judgment. However, Imdom El Kohen Mechaz El Agronus. But if you become like a Kohen, accepting gift, now Kohen accepting truma, that's a good thing. But if you're a judge behaving in that manner, accepting gifts, So your Senate, what you're going to be doing is destroying the world. Okay, when does your judgment become compromised? So the Gemara is going to give a lot of examples. And so we're going to run through a couple right now, and obviously we'll continue the discussion tomorrow. So let's say that you're a judge and you borrowed something from your neighbor. And now your neighbor's coming to you for judgment. And he did you a favor. So you can't judge. The fact that you borrowed from him now is going to compromise your impartiality. V'lo amaran ela delesle la'ashule. Aval isle la'ashule leslan ba. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's only when you borrow, but you don't lend. In other words, if you're like a neighbor, where you borrow and you lend, so that's called being a normal human being, being a good neighbor. And that's not going to compromise your partiality. So Ini the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. So the Gemara says, meanwhile, I'm telling you that Rava, so he borrowed from a neighbor, he didn't return the favor, and meanwhile, he judged the case. So the Gemara says, Hasam, la'achshuvinahu debai. The Gemara says no. In other words, when you're not Adam Chashuv and you are receiving something, you're actually giving more than you're receiving. All right. The Gemara has this idea a number of places to Achas, and that is that, look, when somebody who is everybody looks up to and comes over to you and accepts something from you, that gives you now clout. As a result of that, so you, the giver, are getting more than you're giving. So over here, that's the Gemara's description of Rava. Amar Rava mai taima deshochta. Kevin de Kabale Shokta Mine Ikra Vele Daita Lagabe Vahavakugufe and Aidandam Roa Chova La Atzmo. So Rava gives an explanation of Shochad, meaning what does it do? So what it does is that it basically it gets you closer to the one who gave you Shochad, where basically now you're unable to look at him from an outsider's viewpoint. You now become an insider. It's almost as if you're looking at yourself now. And now, how are we in terms of judging our own ourselves? We're terrible of judging ourselves, right? It's really, really difficult. We have no objectivity when it comes to ourselves. So once he gives me Shochad, and now I become inextricably linked with him, so now it's basically me looking at myself. And how are we judging ourselves? No good. My Shochad, Shuchad. And you could see it in the word shochad itself. The word shochad is actually an acronym of shehuchad. You and him now become one. Amra papaloli dinishin din lamanda rachimlei velo lamanda sanilei. You shouldn't be judging somebody who you particularly like, nor somebody you particularly dislike. So derachimlei lochazilei chova and desanilei lochazilei zechusa. Somebody you like, you particularly like or particularly dislike, so you're not going to be balanced. You're not going to be impartial. Okay. Tosos notes over here, the Gemara Sanhedrin, that says that if you are an ohev or a sone, you can't serve as a witness for such an individual. Over here, right, Tosos says, we're not going to, it's not to the same degree of avon sinah. Over here, it just simply means that, you know, you have a good relationship with that individual, or you have a poor relationship with that individual, but it's not the same level of hatred and love that the Gemara Sanhedrin is describing. Now, let's say you're the Rav of a community, and everybody loves you. So the Gemara says, it's not because you're wonderful. So, it's because you're not doing your job. All right, Rav of a community has got to give Musar, he's got to reprimand the community. That's the job of a Rav. And if everybody likes him, it's a good indication that he's just simply not doing his job. So I'm a Rav Amirei Shav Amina, Hani B'nei Mechuzah, Kula Rachamuli. So Rav says that in the beginning, I thought that everyone loved me. Kevin David Dayane, Amina, Minayu Sanuli, Uminayu Rachamuli. But then I start judging. And now once you start judging, so now obviously, the one who I found favor, the one who I found innocent is going to like me. The one who I found guilty is going to dislike me. So in other words, so I'm going to basically lose popularity. My popularity will be down to 50%. However, Kevin Dechazi demanded Mechayiv Lei, Ha'ina Kazach Lamachar, and Amina, Imarachim Kula Rachmele, Imasani Kula Sanali. But then what they saw is that I call it like I see it. In other words, on this occasion, so I found him innocent. On another occasion, I found him guilty. In other words, then, over the course of time, people will see that what I'm doing is what I'm supposed to do. I judge cases based on not who is coming to me, but rather on the case itself, on the merits of the case. Tana Rabbanu v'shochad lo sikach enos aruch lamar shochad mamon. Ela afil shochad dvarim. Nami asur. Midalok siv betzel lo sikach. Okay, shochad is not just in reference to money, but even shochad dvarim. In other words, if let's say, for example, well, I don't have to come up with examples because the Gemara is going to do so. How do I know that it goes beyond shochad mamon? Very simple, because the Torah doesn't say betza lo tikach. Betza is a reference to money, right? It's slightly uncomfortable to say it, but it's a pasuk in the Torah, right? When Yehuda, after having thrown Yosef into the pit, so you know what he says, ma betza. Right, look, we throw Yehuda in the pit. I'm sorry, did I say Yehuda? I did. Right, he throws Yosef into the pit. And Yehuda says, ma betza. And he says, you know, throwing Yosef into the pit will take care of our problems, but it's not going to help us financially. You know what we should do? We should sell him. That'll help us out financially. Okay, I feel uncomfortable saying it, but that's the pshat in the pasuk. Okay, so, and the Torah doesn't say betza lo sikach. It says rather, shochad lo sikach. That word shochad is a more incorporative term. It describes not only monetary bribes, but other types of bribes as well. So let's go through two examples, and then we'll pause. So Shmuel was crossing over on the ferry, and someone gave him a hand, literally, helped him onto the ferry. So Amrle, my avidatech, Amrle, Dina Isling. So Amrle, Psun Lach Ledina. You know, you helped me onto the ferry. At this point in time, I'm not judging your case. It's going to be hard for me to remain perfectly impartial. Okay, that's one example number one. Example number two. Amem Rabbi Yosef Ikadain Dina, Parach Gadfa Aresha, a feather fell on his head. Also Gavra Shakle, and a person took the feather off of his head. Amrle, my avidatech, Amrle, Dina Isle. Now the guy who brushed the feather off said, oh, by the way, it happens to be that I have a case. So Amalei Psinach Ladina. And Amemer said, okay, can't come to me. And Marufa Avashade Ruka Kameh. Marufa had some spit right in front of him. Asuga Vrekasye. And a person comes along and covers up the spit. Amalei Maya Vedatech. So Dina Isling. Amalei Psinach Ladina. And he says, look, I have a case. I need a judge. Oh, right. Would you judge? And Mar Ukva said, no, can't judge. In other words, you did me a favor. At this point in time, my impartiality is no longer impartial. Okay, three quick examples of what's called Shochad Dvarim. Adkan, we're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. So today we finished the 12th parak of the Masechta, describing Rabbi Chia and his sister-in-law. His mother-in-law and his sister-in-law. Same woman. Okay. Makes for an interesting Thanksgiving. And the fact is that she was a widow and she was supported for 25 years and she never asked for a ksuva and they went to the judge and the judge says he still have to owe her the ksuva even though we went beyond the statute of limitations, but he explained why he ruled that way, and then they wrote a letter of seizure for her, but then the letter of seizure was improperly written, and oh boy, a saga. That started off our daf, and that ended off the 12th parak of the Masechta. And then the beginning of the 13th parak of the Masechta, so the two Dayanik Zeros that are in Yerushalayim, Admon and Hanan ben Avishalom. And so the first ruling of Hanan has to do with Ksuva, specifically when the husband goes AWOL, and now she's looking to collect from the estate in order so that she could be supported, which she's entitled to. Does she have to make a shvua? So Hanan's of the position, no, not now. Later she'll make a shvua, but not now. And that position is supported by Rav Yochim and Zaka as well. Other Tanaim are in dispute. The first part of today's daf on Kuf Hamad Aleph goes through the technicalities of, I got brises that gives us different names, different listings of Dayanim. There are not two, but 394 Dayanim in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara says, okay, we have answers for all that. And the Gemara gave answers for all that. And then right in the middle of Kuf Hamad Aleph, so we started one of the more basic discussions in Shas regarding Shochad. A judge is not allowed to take bribes. Okay, so how does a judge get paid? That was also discussed in today's daf. That was also Kuf Hamad Aleph. And then we turned to Kuf Hamad Beis. And then a lot of Musar regarding what Shochad does. It's very simple. It no longer makes you impartial. Now you're partial. You become now closer to the person who gave you the bribe. You now are unable to separate yourself from him. It's ki'ilu, you're looking at yourself. And so therefore, that's it. Your judgment is going to be impaired. And the Gemara goes on to not only Shochan Mammon, but Shochan Dvarim as well. And we just gave three quick examples of what falls under the category of Shochan Dvarim.